Karen, are you ready for your executive director, enforcement committee? Sorry. Lunchtime's coming. Thank you.
And I won't stand between you and lunch. David McCarron, council staff lead for law enforcement. Next slide, please. Happy to report that we were able to meet after about an 18-month hiatus on May 14th. We did meet virtually to accommodate some folks that wanted to attend the memorial service down in Woods Hole. We had a great agenda, very heavy emphasis on NGOM and mesh size enforcement issues in Redfish, and very good attendance. Next slide, please. We did discuss plenty of committee business and the new structure of the committee. Our focus, based on feedback from the executive committee and a vote by the council last December, was to recreate an enforcement committee that was made up of sworn law enforcement officers, and we did speak with general counsel and work them in as advisors. They did not want to be seated voting members of that committee, but their input has always proved invaluable for our committee, our work. I did solicit nominations for chair and vice chair. I did not get any volunteers at that particular meeting, so state directors, state deputies in the room, if you can just lean on your enforcement folks, that would be awesome. Next slide, please. Just a quick look at the makeup of the committee with general counsel advisors and representative from each of the state and federal partners in law enforcement. Next slide, please. First topic other than council or other than committee business was a reiteration of something that you folks have seen on the council. Caleb Gilbert, NOAA Office of Law Enforcement, has asked for feedback on the quarterly and semi-annual reports that his organization provides to this council, and we did also bring that up to the committee, shared some examples, and that invitation is still open. I think Mr. Gilbert indicated they have a few more months before they're ready to roll out some draft rewrites of those reports, but if there's anything that anybody in our council committee structure would like to see on a more regular basis, more detail, different areas, topic areas, please reach out to me and or reach out to Caleb. Next slide, please. We had an excellent discussion on the Northern Gulf of Maine scallop fishery, which had ended probably 3 weeks, well, 4 weeks prior to the meeting, and we were looking at some these statistics after 3 weeks. So kudos to Office of Law Enforcement, GARFO, and Council scallop staff for pulling together a very in-depth summary of how the fishery was prosecuted over the first 2 weeks of April. I won't dive into the numbers, but it was fast and furious, and it was a very well-prosecuted fishery. Next slide, please. NOAA Office of Law Enforcement gave an excellent presentation on the level of effort for at-sea and dockside inspections. Everybody knows the scope of the fisheries expanded beyond the small boat fleet congregating in Gloucester, and there are now landings in Boston, P-Town, and further south, which there is plenty of rumor and speculation that was causing some concern for some for enforcement issues. But I think as a committee, we left after seeing these statistics and having these discussions with the impression that both state and federal resources were adequately, more than adequately covering landings. There was a general wish, budgets notwithstanding, to have some more at-sea enforcement, but we'll also show you why the at-sea enforcement would be kind of crazy. Next slide. Quick rundown of the violation types. I won't go through these, but very much so, there was a lot of confusion with the double trips in one day and the trip stacking that is allowed with the VMS reporting of that, and also having those VTRs, those EVTRs filled out in a timely fashion. One law enforcement officer noted that there's a 48-hour submission deadline, but you know, we were talking about vessels that were literally coming in, turning around, going out fishing another hold before a weather day, and then sitting inside the breakwater. So there was most of the warnings and violations were around just notification and EVTR. Next slide, please. This will give you, this was some VMS data that was shared with us to give you some indication of why at-sea boarding might be a challenge in this particular environment. You can see that it was a very, very crowded field of effort. Next slide, please. So the issues of crowding, the pace of the fishery, a perception that there may have been poor fishing practice with shell stocking and some long tows. A lot of that ended up being unfounded, but not to take away from, we did receive public comment prior to your April meeting, I believe, that there was still some concern from the smaller boat fleet of those things happening, the non-compliance issues with the EVTR, and then generally the double tripping. While everybody supports it because it allows smaller vessels to play the weather and avoid fishing derby style on dangerous weather days, it does create a lot of confusion for both vessel operators and for law enforcement. And next slide, please. The principal recommendation coming out of the committee requires no council action. This will just go back to NOAA staff has actually already convened an internal working group with General Counsel, Office of Law Enforcement, and I believe Sustainable Fisheries, and they're just going to look at tightening the definition of a landing and working within existing regulations to try to accommodate the double tripping and the holding product overnight, and just the ability to allow that flexibility, but at the same time have the tools necessary to properly enforce catch limits. And we will be revisiting this topic at our autumn meeting. Next slide, please. Sherry, if you could hit play. A lot of boats on the horizon and ready. Couple flybys, and I'm told that the VHF radio traffic was very exciting on those days. Next slide, please. The committee revisited an issue which you folks heard at our April meeting in Portland. A scalloper representing some other scallopers that had leftover closed area 2 allocation that wanted to get into closed area 2 and fish that allocation for the opener, which I believe was May 1st, advised the council that they were concerned with the proliferation of offshore lobster gear in that area. We spoke to that. He presented public comment. We also spoke extensively with that gentleman after the meeting that day and advised that he get in touch with the Offshore Lobstermen's Association. The committee did have a lengthy discussion about the lack of offshore enforcement due to budget constraints in LMA 3, and if possible in upcoming years, if we can have more offshore enforcement looking at trap tag and gear compliance in Area 3. But there was no doubt on both the lobstering and scalloping parts that there is a proliferation of gear, and there's really no place for scallopers to be fishing in that area. Next slide, please. Moving on to redfish exemption, you guys have heard an awful lot about this over the past few meetings, and the PDT and the committee, the groundfish committee, had asked for the law enforcement to weigh in. Next slide, please. So the committee did discuss at length that there's not a lot of guidance for measuring net mesh extensions. And the takeaway from this meeting is that we staff are going to continue to work and craft a recommendation to be brought to the observer program, that the observer program could define some standards for observers and law enforcement to drop more than the COD end down on the checker for ATSI boarding and even dockside boarding, and have a standard procedure for measuring net extensions, some of which can be quite lengthy. So there's safety issues, there's practicality issues about how much of that net material can be rolled off the reel and effectively measured those net extension bodies as opposed to just the COD end. But staff will be investigating this, and I'll be continuing to work closely with the Groundfish Committee and the Groundfish Lead at the Council. That's all we have, and I will defer to the Chairman as to whether I sit or whether we go to lunch.
Thank you for that, Mr. McCarron. As he had mentioned, you know, there will be a meeting in the fall. We're not looking for any tasking. I think they had a really good initial meeting. I think there's some follow-ups that will have to occur, but I think there's already a game plan in place. So I will open up to a couple brief questions. Ms. Braun.
I have a very brief clarification or statement as opposed to a question. Is that allowed?
Knock yourself out.
Okay. Could you go to slide 10, please? I really do appreciate the good conversation that took place at the May 15th meeting. The guys that made comments were very supportive of the amount of dockside enforcement that took place during the fishery. And as you mentioned, we would like to have more at-sea enforcement, just as Alex Todd mentioned. When you go down the highway and you see a state trooper, you tap the brakes. It's a good reminder to be doing what you should be doing. I do want to just clarify some comments made about the double trips. We had some good conversations at enforcement as well as the subsequent scallop committee meeting. The Northern Gulf of Maine is a derby fishery, and that's caused by a large pool of potential vessels trying to get a set quota. And that creates some challenges, and I'm concerned that enforcement is erroneously focusing their frustration on the double trip, and that's not the cause of these problems. It's a derby whether or not it's a double trip. That it's going to be fast whether they land at 11:59 p.m. or 11:59 a.m., 12:01, 12:01. A lot of these bullet points that are listed under double trips are not actually caused by the double trips. Bit of a red herring that prevents us from focusing on the actual issues that are causing the enforcement frustrations. I had other stuff to say, but I'm not going to because we are running out of time. But focusing on the control date and some other issues would actually correct these issues. Eliminating double trips would not, but it would create some serious safety problems and a serious disadvantage for the small boats that want to take advantage of that opportunity to avoid bad weather. Thank you.
And you know where to find me.
Yes, thank you for that. Mr. Smith.
Thanks, Mr. Chairman, and thanks for the presentation. I actually had a question on the second bullet on here regarding perceptions around poor fishing practices. I heard a lot about that myself this spring as well. I guess my question is, I believe in your presentation you recognized that there were perceptions of that and they were proven to be unfounded, and I'm curious how that conclusion was reached.
I don't think that they were founded. Shell stocking, there were longer than expected tows witnessed on the water, but most small boat fishermen from the Gulf of Maine were indicating that it was less egregious than in past years. And then in terms of anything shell stocking outside of the area, obviously nobody was out there to see that.
And so that was based on conversations with people participating in the fishery that you were basing that on?
I guess it would be secondhand because we heard it from state law enforcement people that spoke to those vessel captains.
Yeah, I know. I appreciate the dockside effort that was put in place, and I was just curious how we were getting a handle on what was happening out at sea based on things that I had heard, but I appreciate your clarifying that for me. Thank you.
Seeing no other questions around the table, I will go to Mr. Attorney Minkiewicz online.
Thank you. Drew Minkiewicz with the Sustainable Scalloping Fund. I just wanted to give you an update on how things are going in closed area 2 for the scallop fleet. When closed area 2 first opened on May 15th, I got multiple reports of the area being clogged with lobster traps, despite communications with the Offshore Lobstermen's Association. And I do want to give credit to the representative, Hank. You know, he's been very communicative, very helpful, but obviously he does not control the actions of his members. And some of his membership decided to leave their gear out there and really clog up the area. However, I did get a report today of someone fishing out there and saying their captain didn't see much of any gear and that they were having good catch rates. Don't know if they're in the same exact area, so I don't have all the details, but those are the reports that I've gotten. And like I said, when the area first opened on May 15th, I got numerous reports of people saying there's gear everywhere and they couldn't move around. Thank you.
Thank you for your comments, Mr. Attorney Minkiewicz. Seeing no other comments, like we said, this is to be determined moving forward. There will be a meeting scheduled sometime in the fall. We don't have an exact date yet.
And in person.
So if those who were interested in participating can come view it. But we will now go to lunch, my favorite part of the day. Be back here at 1:40. Thank you.